Welcome to the Unveiled Christ to the World broadcast with Reverend Judith Ann Glass. For over 40 years, the prophetic ministry of Brother and Sister Glass have gone around the world bringing the living Word of God to multiply thousands of people. Get ready to receive a fresh message of faith and hope that will bring you into new dimensions of the love of God. You can be that overcomer God has called you to be as you behold Him, the Unveiled Christ, in all of His matchless glory. Listen now to the whole Word for the whole man to the whole world, ministered in the power and anointing of God's Holy Spirit.
You don't have any problem that a miracle from God can't solve. Greetings, beloved. This is Sister Judith, and I thank you for joining me today. Well, for today and perhaps the next few days, the Lord has directed for me to share with you a message from the fourth chapter of the book of Zechariah. Sometimes we don't hear a lot of preaching on the Old Testament, but I've always loved both old and new. They're part of a whole. The new fulfills the old, just as Jesus came and He fulfilled the old covenant. He didn't do away with it. And so the truths that are given throughout the Word of God are important and applicable to our lives. And this is sort of perhaps an abstruse and a difficult vision that the prophet had. But with the Lord's help, we want to understand this vision, not only in context, not only in terms of the historical setting, but also, perhaps even more importantly, what relation, what purpose does it have for us today? What message can it speak to our hearts? And so now, if you will allow me, I will read the 14 verses of chapter 4 in Zechariah. "And the angel that talked with me came again and waked me, as a man that is wakened out of his sleep, and said unto me, What seest thou? And I said, I have looked, and behold, a candlestick, all of gold, with a bowl upon the top of it, and his seven lamps thereon, and seven pipes to the seven lamps which are upon the top thereof, and two olive trees by it, one upon the right side of the bowl, and the other upon the left side thereof. So I answered and spake to the angel that talked with me, saying, What are these, my Lord? Then the angel that talked with me answered and saidest unto me, Knowest thou not what these be? And I said, No, my Lord. Then he answered and spake unto me, saying, This is the word of the Lord unto Zerubbabel, saying, Not by might nor by power, but by my spirit, saith the Lord of hosts. Who art thou, O great mountain? Before Zerubbabel thou shalt become a plain, and he shall bring forth the headstone thereof with shoutings, crying, Grace, grace unto it. Moreover, the word of the Lord came unto me, saying, The hands of Zerubbabel have laid the foundation of his house. His hands shall also finish it, and thou shalt know that the Lord of hosts has sent me unto you. For who hath despised the day of small things? For they shall rejoice, and shall see the plummet in the hand of Zerubbabel with those seven. They are the eyes of the Lord, which run to and fro through the whole earth. Then answered I and said unto him, What are these two olive trees upon the right side of the candlestick and upon the left side thereof? And I answered again and said unto him, What be these two olive branches which through the two golden pipes and empty the golden oil out of themselves? And he answered me and said, Knowest thou not what these be? And I said, No, my Lord. Then said he, These are the two anointed ones that stand by the Lord of the whole earth. Let's go to prayer for a moment. Father, we thank you for your word, and we thank you, Holy Spirit, that you are continually engaging your people. You continually delight to unveil the word of God to our hearts and minds. You delight to show us things to come, to reveal the deep and hidden things, the secret things of God. And so, Father, we thank you for this time that we're sharing. And Holy Spirit, we ask that you would amplify and open the scriptures, that we would not only understand the writing thereof, but also be able to see the significance to our own lives. We ask this, Lord, in Jesus' name, that you might receive the honor and the glory, and we thank you for it. Praise God. Well, let's begin by setting a bit of a background for this Old Testament prophetic book. It is written by Zechariah, and he had a series of visions. This was his fifth vision, and he lived as a contemporary of Haggai, and he was from a priestly family. He continued Haggai's prophetic efforts around 525-18 BC. And as far as the time frame, this was a period in which the exiles, those that had been taken captive to Babylon, had returned, and they were rebuilding their lives. They were rebuilding the temple. And you know, this began with we see in the book of Nehemiah and Ezra. Nehemiah was instrumental in building the walls. We also know, if you recall from reading Haggai, that the Lord had a rebuke for his people because there had been much opposition. And as is very common to human nature, when we battle so often, we just sort of sit back and give up, and they just became concerned about their own lives. And the Lord rebuked them and said, should you sit in your sealed houses and my house lie waste? So he was encouraging them to continue the building. And we have a job too. We are not building literal church houses or buildings, but God has commissioned us to be his hands, his feet, his mouthpiece, to help establish the temple of the living God, which is a temple not made with hands, but it's the body of Christ, each one of us living stones, lively members of God's beautiful construction, where he will inhabit it by the presence and very power of the Holy Spirit. And we see that at this particular point in time in Israel's history, the priesthood had become lax toward their duties, and the people themselves, they were apathetic. They were just in a state of spiritual neglect, if you will. There was despair among the repatriated exiles. And at this point, they were relatively indifferent to the claims of God's covenant relationship upon their lives. He had called them as a holy people to fulfill his purpose for that time. They were to bring the message of the one true God to all the world. And of course, they did not accomplish that. God is going to, has preserved them miraculously all these centuries, and he will use them in powerful, powerful ways at the very end of time. But at this point in time, they were indifferent, they were lukewarm, and there were even more serious, flagrant disregard for the prescriptions of the Mosaic Law. So these prophets that lived during this time in Israel's history, Haggai and Zechariah, they knew that the returned exiles, that community, could continue to exist only insofar as they exemplified the ideals of the covenant relationship. In other words, they needed to come up to the standards of being who they were ordained and designed by God to be. For them, for these prophets, restoration of a proper form of worship was simply, but importantly, an outward expression of that state of inward commitment and holiness which God required and demanded of his people. And as we know from the book of Haggai, I'm not going to take the time to go there, but of course, God's people in every age want divine blessing. They want prosperity. And prosperity is a result of proper relationship with God. And God's divine blessings come into our lives when there's first submission and repentance and his cleansing from sin. And of course, that was one of the hallmarks of what was occurring in the time of when Haggai was prophesying, because remember, if you recall, the Lord said, you have bags, but they have holes in it, and you eat, but you're not full, and it's like all their efforts amounted to nothing. They were striving so hard, but there was no satisfaction or prosperity. And the Lord said, consider your ways. And that piercing question, he's speaking to his people today, consider your ways. Now, There is a prophetic significance which is far-reaching. This, of course, is at one level relates to the physical reconstruction of that temple, that second temple, Solomon's, had been destroyed. But it foresees a time when Jew and Gentile would gather together in a spirit of faith and devotion and worship at Jerusalem. That's taking place even now. There are Christians and there are Messianic Jews who are worshiping God. It deals, of course, with immediate deliverance of God's people, but it does declare the final blessings of God's people, that He's going to bring all nations together and all the peoples of the world, people from every kindred, tribe, tongue, and nation, will be those that are part of serving the living God. The prophets were speaking the word of the Lord as well as providing spiritual leadership. They were turning the people back to God. They were helping to establish proper priorities. They were making God their head, which is what He wanted, and guiding and directing the nation to its destiny as a living witness of God in the world. That was God's divine destiny for the people of Israel. And we can see, of course, a parallel with the church today. Now, God is bringing together a body of Jew and Gentile where we are serving one Lord, and there is a unity. He's grafted us together and making us one body that we can be a witness to this generation. Well, my time has flown by, and tomorrow we'll begin to look at an interpretation of this vision to try to understand what's going on in this chapter, this fifth vision of Zechariah. I thank you so much for joining me today, and I do invite you to tune in tomorrow at the same time. And also, I want to remind you, if you have prayer requests, if you need the support of agreeing prayer, I'm here for you. The announcer will give our contact information. I look forward to receiving your letters, and I thank you for your prayer support as well as your financial gifts. God bless you. I love you. And until tomorrow, this is Sister Glass saying, may God's best forever be yours, is my prayer.
Well, this has been the Unveiled Christ to the World broadcast with Sister Glass. Thank you for spending time with us. We pray it's been a time of ministry and encouragement for you. If you would like to write to Sister Glass, there are a couple of ways you can do so. You can write and address your envelope to Post Office Box 577, Caldwell, Idaho. 83606 is the zip code. Or visit our website, unveiledchrist.org, and drop Sister Glass an email. Again, write to Post Office Box 577, Caldwell, Idaho, 83606, or send her an email through our website, unveiledchrist.org. And please remember that your prayers and tax-deductible support allow this ministry to continue on this station. Until next time, God bless.
Oh, behold.